Good morning, church.
Good
morning. Tell you, if we can get through this today, I want to say hi to the people at home watching, watching on Facebook. Tell you, I've grown up most of my life feeling more at home in Leave It to Beaver. Now it seems like I'm in the Jetsons, being, you know, with all this stuff. I tell you, these are some kind of odd times that we're in, no doubt about that. The lesson today is God is in control.
Amen.
I'm not going to move, Don. I'm going to stand right here. Cecil B. DeMille didn't have those problems. We worry sometimes, especially now. We kind of wonder what's going to happen day by day, what's going to unfold, you know, with whether it be medically, whether it be economic, whatever. And the message today is God is in control. There was times that I'm sure people have wondered, where is God? And Paul reminded us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 8, he said, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us."
Amen.
In that last verse, in verse 10, we see God had delivered us in the past. He still delivers us in the present, and he will deliver us in the future. There is no doubt that over time, other people have wondered, is God in control? When the Israelites, in bondage for 400 years in Egypt, wondered, when's this going to end? Is God with us? God was in control. God was in control when they were in bondage. It was part of his plan. Not that they suffer, but it was part of God's plan. And one thing we need to remember is that things are not always on our timetable. God's plan and God's timetable wasn't what the Israelites would have had. The wandering in the wilderness, after they got out of bondage. God is great, God is good. But now you're going to wander around the desert. You're going to live in tents instead of homes for 40 years. Is God in control? Absolutely. He is in control. I wonder how many people wondered when Jesus was being crucified. The people that had followed him, is this over? This can't be part of God's plan. For the Son of God to be brutally killed and crucified, God was in control. within the lifetime of that early first century church, within the life of many of the people that were there on the day of Pentecost, people that had seen Jesus die, that made up the early church, the persecutions they went through, the beatings, you think of Paul, the beatings, the imprisonments, and so forth. Christians, not for anything they had done, but for who they were. Now, we're not going to get into a political discussion right now about jail and punishment and so forth. Me personally, I have no problem with somebody being punished for something they've done. That's me. I have no problem with some with punishment for what you've done. The Christians were being punished for who they were, not for something they had done, because they believed in Christ. Burned alive for not only punishment, but as enjoyment. Being sent to have to fight gladiators. Try to see how long that they could stay alive fighting against gladiators. Put in arenas and wild animals being leashed on them and the crowds cheering that they were being ripped apart. Cheering. God was in control. Not that he was smiling of the persecutions, but God was in control. Throughout history, he's always been in control. The thousands that died during the Black Death, within our lifetime, during the life of some of you in here, the Great Depression, God was in control. The worst economic time of our history, God was in control. He was in control through two world wars. During my lifetime, the Cold War. Every Saturday, I'd hear the siren ring at Twin Lakes Elementary at noon, testing the air raid siren to make sure it was still working. We had duck and cover drills during school because those dirty red devil Russians we just knew were going to drop a bomb on us at any given time. God was in control. Political turmoil. We think there's political turmoil now. Had a president resign back in the 70s. He was so corrupt. Whatever the case that we've lived through, what others have lived through, what we are living through now, God is in control. I'd like for you to turn, if you'd like to read along, it will be on the screen, to Isaiah 40. That is where the bulk and the rest of our lesson is going to be taken from. I got so much to think about. I've got to stand still. I've got to click this, move papers. If we get off track of what I'm reading and what's on, just kind of let me know. Isaiah 40. As we read this chapter, I want you to keep in mind, God is in control. I don't know of a better chapter of the Bible that demonstrates that. starting in verse 1. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. I want to read that verse one more time. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. I find it interesting, these two verses, how that same arm, that same hand of God, he will come with a strong hand, a strong arm, but that arm will gently carry the sheep in his arms and gently lead those who are with young. The same God, the same arm that comes strongly will gently carry the sheep. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient for a burnt offering. all nations before him are as nothing. And they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith spreads it with gold. And the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it been told you? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the earth. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them and they will wither. And the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is the Lord our God. What we have the power through him to do. When it looks like you have nowhere to turn, when you're uncertain about tomorrow, when you're uncertain about right now, we need to remember that God is in control. He always has been, he is right now, and he always will be. Amen. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers, we urge you to make your needs be known as Daryl leads us in the invitation song. I think you will recognize some of the words of the invitation from these last few verses in Isaiah. Let's stand and sing.